Lord, hear my confession. My feet keep stumbling over. Envy and pride possess me. I keep slowly slipping down. I see the rich in envy. I see the poor and swell with pride. My faith seems cold and empty until I step into your light. Whom have I in heaven but you? The earth is nothing I desire.
God's grace and his mercy and his peace and his soothing are ours from God the Father through his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Let us hear the entire Psalm 73, written by a man named Asaph, as he shares his heart to God in a crucial conversation for us to be a part of. Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous heart comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like. They always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued and I have been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed this generation of your children. When I tried to understand all of this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. The words of God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, is the commitment, let's say in your marriage, if you are married, is the commitment in your marriage big enough to survive the crucial conversations vital for a healthy relationship? Is your best friend friendship real enough to have the crucial conversations that can separate most friends. You know, crucial is an interesting word. Vital, critical. Its root is in the Latin, crux or cross. When there is a reality that needs a response, you have a crucial event or conversation. And the most crucial conversation in the history of the world happened at the cross of Jesus Christ, where the Creator of the world spoke and still speaks to His world. And the Creator says this, "Your sin is a serious deal. It hurts, it wounds, it kills. So for me to be just, I must punish it. Or you will be all about taking only in your life. People cry out to me daily for justice. And so I must respond. You see, I established this world for you, and I gave you my heart. And I modeled love as service, but you turned your back on my love and on my heart. And you destroyed our friendship, the relationship that is key to healthy relationships in this world and a functional world. And so I responded by sending my son. I stretched him out on the cross for you, where your sin met my justice. I stretched him out on that cross, and he absorbed the world's rejection of me and suffered. He died for your sin. But now I declare that through faith in him is forgiveness. And I will welcome you into the family of God, where crucial conversations happen on a regular basis. My love is big enough for crucial conversations." Now, my friends, Asaph trusted that. And so he had one, a crucial conversation with the Almighty. His conversation with God is called Psalm 73. He put pen to paper so that you and I could listen in and you and I could be blessed. But curiously, if you were taking note, in this conversation, Asaph does all the talking, which is comforting, I think, for me at least, when I think of my conversations with the Almighty in the dark of night or in the midst of trouble. I do all the talking. But Asaph wants us to know God's love is big enough for all of our words, including that inner voice inside of us, that steady monologue of my words. You know that inner voice, right?
Boy, I hope that his sermon this morning keeps me awake. I'm tired.
Man, I hope that my sermon this morning is energetic and lively because I'm tired. I've got to keep myself awake. That voice. Do we ever direct that inner voice directly at God? You know, God, church can be kind of tough sometimes. I mean, I'm tired, you know, and then sometimes some of the things you say, they cut too close to the heart, too close to the bone, and I'm just saying it's tough sometimes. Or do we keep that inner voice to ourselves, forgetting that God hears it all? Well, Asaph is bold. Asaph is gutsy. He just lays it out for a crucial conversation with the Almighty. So let's have it. Have you ever planted a tree? You prepare the soil, you dig the hole, you set the roots in place. And then you stand back and you think, something's not quite right. This thing has three trunks, that's not good. So you feel this urge to trim, to prune. But you can't trim too much because leaves equal food equals root growth, and that's important when you plant a tree. And so for long-term health, you cut one trunk off, and for short-term health, you cut off the broken branches, and then you just leave it. Pruning, to a point, is healthy and good for a tree. Lo and behold, it's also true for people. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. He prunes Pruning is necessary and healthy for us. And that allows Asaph to say with great boldness this opening line of the conversation, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." Asaph reminds us to applaud the work of our God as he works in our lives. Thank you, God, for regular pruning in my life to keep my eyes focused on you and on the things of heaven. God, we love it when you work that way. No pain, no gain. We get it. Yes, thank you, God. Until we don't get it. I don't get why a miscarriage is a part of my life. I don't understand the financial struggles of my life. I don't get this diagnosis this early in my life. And in fact, God, when I just look at my life, I just don't get it. I didn't see this coming. Forgive me, Lord, when I don't trust you as the master pruner. You must cut some, but not too much, for the roots to grow and to be strengthened. Karen, this is not her, it's just a facsimile. Karen attends our Tuesday night following the promise class, 7 p.m. She gave me permission to share her story. Routine heart valve surgery. 9 days in the hospital, back home, complications, 911, shocking her heart on the living room floor, back to the hospital, breathing tube in, breathing tube out, breathing tube in, breathing tube out, 3 weeks. Devotions with her in the hospital. Some she remembers, some she doesn't. Finally, August 22nd, a home visit with Karen with a devotion off of Revelation chapter 1, and the theme was, "Karen, you are a princess of the King." Now, there was great irony that day as Karen sat in her recliner with her long pants on, her sweater on, her blanket over her legs, and God is calling her a princess of the King. That's what John says in Revelation 1. He says, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus." Do you see the irony? We are children of the King, children of the kingdom, in suffering and patient endurance this side of heaven. The joy of that day, though, as I sat with Karen, was God's work in Karen. Karen would, if she were here right now, she would share with you that she does not disagree with Asaph. God is good to his people, surely. Karen would tell you that as a princess of the King, she is so ready to see his face whenever that is his will. But she is also ready to marshal the strength and serve on here if that is his will. For you see, Karen and Jesus have had a crucial conversation at his cross. And Karen would tell you that the God of grace is always good to his people, the God of forgiveness. But then we bump up against the inner voice of Asaph and his trust that God's love is big enough for crucial conversations. Let's remember what he said next. "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure." What is God teaching us through these words of Asaph? Well, for me, it's this, that the temptation is there for me, for us, to buy into earthly treasures. And so we thank our God that Asaph put in front of us in this crucial conversation, some of the thoughts that can be in our own hearts and in our own minds. Is Jesus really worth turning away from temptation? Is Jesus really worth setting aside the pleasures of this world until God allows them and permits them in His time? And so then we find ourselves confessing with Asaph that in our guilt, as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold. I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Does the Most High have knowledge of these things? But then with Asaph, we come full circle and we pray, Lord, give to me trust in my eyes of faith that see. And help me not to indulge the physical eyes of the flesh. So if we are honest with ourselves, we will admit that the temptations out there in the world make it so hard at times to not just whine with the wicked. Think of all the actors and actresses who are raking in millions of dollars, yet have social and political agendas that are so offensive to our God. Why does God keep blessing them? How is that fair, we might ask? Think of all the professional athletes who are raking in the millions, who violate laws, get off scot clean, and show up on a Sunday morning to the applause again of fans. We might say to God in heaven, foul, and does God even hear? Think of the career criminals with enough money to beat the rap. And we could delve into politics, but that just seems way too easy. Which is why the caution flag has to go up for us. And I must share a quote I found from a commentator on his observation on this psalm. Envy is a corrosive acid that eats away at contentment and faith. It seems that the main thing that was angering Asaph was not indignation that the wicked were dishonoring God, but resentment that the wicked seemed to have more than he. His frustration was more self-pity than zeal for God's honor. How true it is that the most crucial conversations in our lives happen at the foot of the cross, where we acknowledge our sin to God. We receive His forgiveness. And we thank God that He adjusts the lenses of our worldview to focus in again on heaven and heaven's treasures. Lord Jesus, may we be focused on souls and saving them and less concerned about the things of this world. So where are we in our crucial conversation? God is good to His people, yet there are times I envy the wicked. Asaph's last point, until I hang out with my God. The Apostle Paul once wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character. Asaph would agree with that. He said kind of the flip side of that in the psalm. When I tried to understand all of this that I was seeing, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. What do we learn from God in these words of Asaph? Two things. First and foremost, choose your friends carefully, for you will become them. Asaph rediscovered that hanging out with his God was a pretty cool thing, because God was his creator who had planned his salvation. Secondly, we learn with Asaph that the wicked only have comforts and pleasures in this life. And that to side with them and to dishonor God and to shout down His truth and to recruit to that game is a dead end. For sin always hurts and sin always ends up facing the wrath of God. So it's on us to understand the fate of the wicked. And to pray that God would keep us focused on heaven and its treasures. So thank you, Lord, for regularly working in our lives to keep us focused on you. We confess that the temptations of the world, of this world, so too often pull immediately at me, and some sins always pull at me. And so as God's people, we pray dangerously. We pray, Lord, do whatever it takes in my life to keep me focused on you. Whatever it takes in my life, Lord, to keep my treasures heavenly. Whatever it takes, dear Lord. And we pray it boldly. There's a true story of a pastor who served in this area 50 years ago. A man who knew God's love and mercy and grace richly. One day, this pastor was privileged to attend the funeral of a young man who had died in faith and in Jesus. And the pastor was there to assist the family of God to do what we do at those times in life, to gather in the Lord's sanctuary, to hang out with our God for some crucial conversations at the foot of the cross. The challenge for the family of God that day, though, was this: what exactly to say to this mother who was laying to rest her third and final son? Well, this pastor went over to her, to this mother, and sat down next to her and put his hands on hers. And with a smile on his face, he said an amazing thing. He said, God must love you very much. Do we see what that pastor saw? Do we know what Asaph knew? No matter the journey of God's people, no matter how long, no matter how short, no matter how easy, no matter how hard, God's people, when we hang out with our God, we know that God is always at work for good. So three sons, safely home in heaven, just as God had promised her in the waters of holy baptism. A woman firmly founded in God, in Jesus' promise of the great reunion in heaven. The world would look at this woman with pity that she believed in a God too weak to prevent that third death. But the woman in time came to pity the world that did not see what she saw. And so she became a great evangelist for the Lord God Almighty, sharing His forgiving, saving faith forever. You see, amazing blessings happen when there are crucial conversations at the foot of the cross. Dear friends, are there issues, challenges, temptations that you have in your life that keep you now from knowing the peace of your God? Are there some heart-to-hearts that still need to be had at the foot of the cross to hear the voice of our God, that He might soothe you to the depths of your soul? Well, then we part today with these words where Asaph landed. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of your deeds. And all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we begin today by thanking you that you are a God who is big enough for all of our words. We live in a world that is affected by sin. We are affected personally by the curse of sin in our own lives, and we are affected by the sin that still lives in our hearts and our sinful nature. We want you to know that we are thankful to you as our God, that your love is big enough to hear all of our words, to hear our challenges to you, to hear our hearts of sorrow, our questions from our hearts. But we also thank you that your word is rich and full, and able to respond to our thoughts and to take us to the place of crucial conversations, to take us to the cross of Jesus Christ, to help us to know that you have the answers, sometimes as hard as they may be. But from your word comes the hope in Jesus and in the forgiveness of sins that will never go away. And so as we look out at your world, and as we question sometimes how you are blessing the wicked, may we also always be content and at peace with how you are blessing us, with how you bless me. Just enough pruning to keep me focused. Just enough pruning to keep me strong. That when the day comes when I am to go from this life to the next, I will grab hold of your heart in faith and with joy. And I will thank you for being my Savior God that is always there for me. May that truth soothe me today and every day. We pray to your glory with great joy, finding rest in our stress. Thank you, God, for listening. In the name of Jesus, we pray.